Last week, we started a series called Halfway. And we say to God, meet us halfway. And God says, no, go all the way. And I look at our worship center today, and I see so many people, and I see many of you are halfway to the altar. Today, we're going to talk about more than halfway. And I look at the worship center, and I see many where it takes place, halfway to the altar. But church, the altar is where it takes place. The altar is where transformation takes place. And today, we're going to come around the altar more than halfway. We're going to go all the way to the altar, and we're going to raise our hands as a congregation of Cross Point Church, and we're going to praise Him. We're going to praise Him today like we've never praised. We're going into the fall. Our programs start back up on Wednesday night. We're going to have people coming in from the community. We're going to have so many children coming in from the 1st of October that you have never seen. And God smiles today, and He's just smiling. Why? Because He sees His people praising. I just think we're not done praising. Church, come on. Let's come down and let's just praise. Meet me at the altar.
Quiet, my God is alive. How could I keep it inside? I won't be quiet.
Some of us are breathing a little labored today. Lord God, I pray, Lord God, that you open up their lungs today. Lord God, others are sick in body in a hospital or skilled care facility. Lord God, in Jesus' name, Lord God, quicken their steps and give them praise today, Lord. Let them be dancing in the hallways by this afternoon, Lord. God, I pray today that you pour out your power in a new and fresh anointing. That the fall of 2024 at Cross Point Church doesn't look like it was last year. We don't want last year, Lord God. We want this year, Lord God. Hallelujah, Lord. Oh, God. Lord God, quicken us, excite us, Lord. Don't let us spend more time with the world in excitement and praising the things of the world. Lord God, just put something down inside of us that we just can't contain it, Lord. Lord God, burst something inside of us, Lord, that we just can't stop. God, we'll continue to give you praise. We'll praise you in the good times. We'll praise you in the storm. We will praise your name no matter what it looks like, Lord God. We're still going to praise. Lord God, thank you for Cross Point Church. Thank you for the great people that call this place home, both here in our worship center and the many people watching online that are a part of the Cross Point family. Lord God, we give you praise today. In the mighty, mighty name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Church, give him praise today. Hallelujah. 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 You go back to your seats this morning and just keep praising him. And if you find somebody that's not praising, you grab them and you shake them a little bit and we'll give them praise, right? Hallelujah, Lord. Well, if you haven't noticed, God's got us all fired up here, right? If you can't get fired up for God, and no, it's not being fired up because the NFL season starts today. It's fired up because God is in the house. God is in the house. And we are just excited for what he's going to do, not only today, but what he's going to do in the days, weeks, and months to come. We have been working hard on Wednesday night. There are a number of things in place. We are inviting you to bring your friends and your family to Wednesday night journey night. It will look a little bit different this Wednesday. It will look a whole lot different come October 9th. But I know that Cross Point Church will love on all those people that walk in these doors, and we will bless them and we will praise his holy name right alongside him. Right, church? Amen. Do not miss Wednesday night. It will get ramped up on the 11th. That's this Wednesday, and go a few weeks into October 9th. Well, we will really gear up, and it'll be crowded. It'll be crowded. Yes, amen. Pastor Mike's screaming amen. Scream amen with Pastor Mike and I. Amen. Amen. We are going to see a sovereign move of God because God's people respond. And when God's people respond, he moves just more than ever. He wants us to respond. We don't want to be a people of halfway. We don't want to be a people of more than halfway. I want us to be a church of all the way, right? All the way for Jesus. We're going to do that. Yep, you can clap for Jesus. That's fine. We want to welcome you again in the house. We want to welcome you if you're watching online. And if you are listening to the podcast, welcome as well throughout the week. Many people now downloading and listening to our podcast. We appreciate that. And if you are now watching us on TikTok, I know nothing about TikTok. I just know the church is putting us out on TikTok. Now, TikTok, and if you know what TikTok is, do me a favor, raise your hand. All the Malone students know what TikTok. Nobody else knows what TikTok, right? Right? I guess, you know, that's the platform of videos and whatnot, and we've launched into TikTok to get the word out, and we're going to continue to do that. My feelings were hurt this past week because we saw that the video that's getting all the views on TikTok, it's over 15,000 people have now watched a video on TikTok, and it has nothing to do with the preaching. It has everything to do with the worship team. The worship team is making a statement on TikTok. So church, give the worship team a praise today. They are. I saw the number last night was roughly 15,000 people have taken a look at the worship team and saw the worship team at Cross Point Canton here. And I am just so excited. My preaching video got 3 views. Woo! Oh, it didn't. They got 6,000. So, but that's, you know, the worship team's doing a whole lot better. I don't care who gets the views. I just want the word of Jesus to get out to the community, right? Right. We started a series last week called Halfway, and we're going to continue that today, and we're going to go into the second week. But let's do a quick review. If you weren't here last week, I want to bring you up to speed. If you were not here and you did not have the opportunity to see listen to the podcast or watch us online, you can go to Facebook. You can go to, oh my goodness, we do so much now. You can go to Facebook. You can go to the website at cpoint.church and watch any of our previous services for years. You can go to YouTube, our YouTube channel, and you can watch us there to see some of the services or all of them. That's fairly new, so some of them from a few years back won't be there, I don't believe. So, but you'll find your spot and be able to get a review. But let me help you along the way. Doesn't it seem like God sometimes just doesn't meet us halfway? It just seems like we're in this one-sided relationship that we just don't feel like he's listening, right? We just kind of feel like we're on an island. And that's not the case, of course, but that's kind of how we feel. It's kind of like when we talked about last week, we're in a relationship with a friend or some type of relationship, and it seems like we're doing all the work. And it's a one-sided thing. There's no reciprocation there. And we talked about that. We talked about Abram and the promise of God to Abram, that he'd be a great nation, that he would be blessed, that he was given land, that he would have descendants as numerous as the stars. God gave a promise, right? And we talked about that. We used him. Abram struggled, though, with God's strategy, but he did believe the promise. He's waiting for these descendants. He's waiting for this to happen, and he's waiting for a son, and he questions God's strategy. He didn't question the promise. He questioned how he was going to get there, and that's what we do, right? We kind of question how God's going to get us there. I don't see it, God. God says, you don't need to see it. I don't understand it. You don't need to understand it. It's all about trusting God, and that's what he had to do. But he kind of got ahead of himself. We talked about that with his son and then the promised son that came later. We talked about that when he was 86 years old, Ishmael showed up. We talked about that last week and why that was an interruption to God's strategy. But God's promises are always fulfilled, but often his strategy just doesn't make sense to us, right? And so we go out and we change the strategy. Abram didn't trust the strategy. But he believed the promise. See, we fail to realize it's God that creates the strategy, right? We struggle with that sometimes, and we don't trust the strategy. We fail to realize that God doesn't normally pick the least path of resistance for us. He doesn't pick the least path, the lowest or least path of resistance. What's that mean? That means sometimes it's a really hard path, right? And we talked about that in the Path series here a few weeks back. We think God should, you know, we think God should do, he tends not to do. Like, we tell God, here, God, this is what I think it should be, and he says, no, I'm not going to do that. And why? If God selects the strategy that we think it should be, then we could get the glory. You know, we could do it ourselves, right? If we could put together our own strategy and God says, yeah, that's a good strategy, let's go with that, God blesses it, then it's really God doing it, not us, and we think it's us, so we get the credit, right? He doesn't want that. God's divine plans are much bigger than our thought process, right? It's a much bigger situation than what we can figure out. Although we play a part in it, we're not the only part. We are just not the only part. There's a lot of moving pieces. It's like a chessboard or checkerboard. There's a lot of moving pieces there, and we don't understand what God's doing over there on the other side of the board. We just know what he's doing with us. And we're struggling with moving to the next location when God says, well, wait a second, I got to do all this over here and all this over here before you can move, but you don't see that. You don't see that, right? And so here's where many of us live. We live halfway through God's strategy leading to his divine promise for us, right? We change the strategy. So halfway through that God divine strategy, we end up changing the strategy exactly like Abram did. I can't wait any longer for a son. I'm going to change the strategy and go out and do it a different way. We either trust our perspective or his divine orchestration, but we can't trust both. That means you got to trust you or God, but you can't trust you and God at the same time. Now, I don't know, church, I choose God, right? Because I'm not that bright. I take God. My perception, my perspective is not near like God's divine plan, right? We talked about halfway is a really dangerous place. Impatience shows up, discouragement shows up, fatigue shows up. That's what happened to Abram and his wife, Sarai at the time. They just struggled. They got impatient. Now, I know nobody ever gets impatient here. I know we never get discouraged. I know that we never get tired and fatigued, right? But that's what happens halfway through. I challenge us today to move quickly through the halfway point and get more than halfway, which is the title of the message today, more than half. More than half. What does that mean? That means more than halfway. I've got to get more than halfway. Now, let's talk about halfway. I don't think I defined it last week, so let's define it. Halfway is the midpoint, right? Like, if you have 100 numbers, you would say, what's the middle number? It's 50, right? It's not 49, and it's not 51. If you're just looking at whole numbers, it is 50. But then this amazing thing happens. More than halfway would be more than 50. It could be 51. It could be all the way through 99. You define the scale, but it's more than half. But the halfway point is one centralized midpoint. But the more than half is a large scale. It goes and goes and goes, right? More than halfway is 50. More than halfway is 99. And all the way would be 100. God wants us all the way. But the only way you get to all the way is to get to the halfway point and then go more than half and keep going. And today we're going to talk about that more than half concept, right? Major decisions happen halfway. Major decisions happen when you move past the halfway point. And we're going to dive right back into Nehemiah 4, 15 through 16, the scripture. You remember that we have used this. The Israelites were held in captivity for 70 years. They get out, and they're coming back to Jerusalem. They're going to restore the city. Remember, we set this up weeks ago. We've used it. Part of that restoration process was rebuilding the wall around the city, and Nehemiah is going to go rebuild the wall. He's going to get everybody together to rebuild the wall. They start to rebuild the wall, and how far did they get before they stopped? Halfway. And why? That's when the opposition started to really heat up. They saw that they were making what? Progress. They saw that they were filling in the holes of the wall and shoring it up. And they knew that they had their mind set to get it done. But then they started getting that opposition that shows up. I know it doesn't happen here, right? We never get opposition to what we're doing, right? We do. And it just seems like the halfway mark is a lot of opposition. And that's what happens. But then we get to Nehemiah 4, 15 through 16, and it goes like this. When our enemies heard that it was known to us and that God had frustrated their plan to stop rebuilding the wall at the halfway point, we all returned to the wall. We went back to the wall, each to do his work. Halfway through, they make a decision. They made a decision to stop, but they made another decision to go back. From that day on, what day? More than halfway. They decided to move forward. But they came back with a plan to the opposition. And the plan was, half of my servants worked on the construction of the wall, and half held their spears, shields, bows, and coats of mail. That's an armor. Coats of mail is the armor, body armor, right? And the leaders then stood behind the whole house of Judah. We're going to guard the wall. Half of us will be building it. The other half will be guarding it. Halfway. To move to more than halfway to build that wall, it's going to look different. As you move from some situation in your life beyond the halfway point, and there's all this opposition, and you're going to go more than halfway, the enemy knows that you're headed towards the final destination, whatever God laid on your heart. And you're going to get there, but to get there, you got to go beyond the halfway, more than halfway, and continue on, right? So you have to maybe make a decision. It may look different to finish the trip. Here, they guarded the wall. Halfway is where the opposition showed up. A decision had to be made to continue more than halfway. So, why does it feel like sometimes God doesn't meet us halfway? It's only a feeling. It is not a reality. It is only a feeling. Look at Psalm 34:4. It should be on the screen behind me or on your device as you look from online. It goes, God met me more than halfway. And what did he do? He freed me from my anxiety. He freed me from my fears. More than halfway through, God still shows up. God still delivers. God still helps me. I'm gonna have some opposite, but God's gonna be victorious with me, right? If I get more than halfway. He was there at the beginning, he's there at the halfway point, and he's still gonna show up as we move through the situation. Now, do you remember the call of Abram? Remember the call of Abram? It didn't make sense. And I'm hoping that the media people have a diagram that I have to show you here behind me. If you've got that diagram, there it is. Now, if you look down in the right-hand corner, you see Ur. See where it says number one? There's Ur, right? This is the diagram of the call of Abram and the journey he took to get to his final destination. Now, it's really kind of funny when you look at the picture. He takes this trek. Now, he could have just went right through the Arabian Desert, like a straight line, and got right to Canaan. See Canaan down here, Shechem, Jerusalem, Hebron, so forth, right? A few cities are through up there, just to give you an idea. It's a lot closer, but, you know, the trip through the desert would have been rough. So they go up on the coast of the Euphrates River. Why? There's some good water up there, right? It's not as hot. It's a little bit easier to travel, but it's longer. It's longer, right? So they go up and they make this trek and they go all the way up to Haran or Haran. Two ways to pronounce it. There's a city up there and they hang out. And then you see it's a really good representation of more than halfway. Not a lot, but it is more than halfway geographically, right? So he goes a little bit more than halfway. Now, if you go to the southern portion of Canaan, you know, it would be even closer to halfway. But that's a long travel, right? Miles and miles. Just keep that in the back of your mind as we move forward. So let's start back at Genesis 12:1. And you'll see that the diagram represents in the scripture, the Lord has said to Abram, leave your native country, get out of Ur, right? We talked about that. Leave your country, your relatives, your father's family, and go to the land I will show you. So you're leaving right before you know where you're headed. Okay? I will make you into a great nation, comes the promise. I will bless you and make you famous, and you will be a blessing to others. Now, what I didn't mention last week is that 4,000 years later, this guy named Stephen, in the book of Acts, is speaking publicly in front of the Sanhedrin, which is the court system kind of back then, right? And so he's proclaiming something, and he says it like this. It is in Acts chapter 7, verse 2. Brethren and fathers, listen. This is 4,000 plus years later. The God of glory appeared to our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia. That's where Ur is, right? Before he dwelt in Haran. Before he was there, he was home in Ur. Now, last week I told you that Haran was Lot's father. He is, but it's also a city, okay? And you're going to learn more about that today. I kind of set that up from last week. So there is Lot's father, and then there's the city. Today we're talking about the city more specifically, right? Acts 7, 4, he continues, then he went out from the land of Chaldeans and lived in Haran. You saw the diagram of how he did the trek. And after his father died, God removed him. Whose father died? Abram's father. We'll get there. From there into this land, which you are now living, the promised land. So Stephen's talking to people, explaining what happened over 4,000 years ago to Abraham, Abram back then, but he's now referencing him as Abraham. Why? Because he's now Abraham. Name change, right? So he's explaining what happened over 4,000 years ago. The land that he was on at the time he's explaining was the land that Abram was headed to on the track, right? He made it, he inherited it, and they're there because he was faithful to get there. So they're standing and talking on the very land that he inherited, right? That's why I showed you the diagram. But then this phrase that Stephen talks about, he says, God removed him. That shows up twice in Scripture, and here's one of the places it shows up in Scripture. God removed him from this city of Haran. Removed him. Wow, it's kind of like God came in and forcefully kicked him out of the city, right? What it means is it means that God came in and continued to be persistent on the call. He didn't give up on him. Now you're saying, why would he do that? Why would he not give up? What was going on? And you're going to see something. And today, before you leave, I'm wondering if you're going to call yourself an Abraham, or you're going to call yourself a Terah, his father. Because today we're talking about his father. So there's the groundwork. Let's talk about Terah, Abram's father. Are you today, church, an Abram or an Abraham or a Terah? Genesis 11, 27 through 32, this is the family. This is something we have not read last week. Let's read today. This is the account of Terah's family. Terah was the father of Abram. So Abraham's father is Terah. Nahor, and there's Haran. Not the city, but the son. And Haran was the father of Lot. But Haran died in Ur of the Chaldeans, the land of his birth. So he was born there and he died there while his father, Terah, was still living. So dad outlived one of the sons, okay? Meanwhile, Abram and Nahor both married. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai. This is before she's changed to Sarah. We've referenced her many times as Sarah. And the name of Nahor's wife was Milcah, okay? But Sarai was unable to become pregnant and had no children. Other versions of the Bible, other one say she was barren. And I use this version because it shows something that I want to bring out. She was unable to have children. That means They were getting busy, right, trying to have children. They wanted a child. Before they even left Ur, God had laid on their heart to have children, right? They wanted children. But she was barren. She couldn't have children. Why? God didn't want her to have children at the time. God didn't want it. Why? Because it was part of the plan. It was part of the strategy that he was going to unfold for them later. They just didn't know it, right? They just didn't know it. Verse 31 says, then one day Terah took his son. Now he's leading Abram. Watch what happens here. This is stuff that we just don't dive into when we're talking about Abram and the promise. We don't dive into this. We're diving in it today because it's so pertinent and relevant. So one day Terah took his son. That means he's going to lead Abram and his daughter-in-law, Sarah, his wife, Abram's wife, and his grandson, Lot, and moved away from Ur of the Chaldeans. Moved physically, and they're moving emotionally. That means they're checking out. Sometimes when you move physically, you don't check out emotionally. You just move physically. Like a lot of students come to college, like the Malone students, and they move physically, but they don't check out of where they live at home, right? Their home. They don't check out. They don't make a life transition. They're here for a season, right? Here, it says they moved away. And we look at this as a moved away physically, as it is, but it's also a moved away. I'm leaving this go. And that's what they did, right? But it's important that we see that Terah is doing the leading. He was headed for the land of Canaan. Wait, I thought Abram didn't know. Terah made a decision to leave town and go to Canaan on his own. He's going to go. And he's going to lead his son. Unbeknownst to him, probably at the time, God's speaking to Abram to go. So here comes his dad and say, hey, listen, we're going to Canaan. Can you imagine the thought process? Can you imagine what was going on in the home that night around the dinner table when they're having some filet, right? Sheep filet, of course. Right? They're having some sheep filet. And they're talking, and he's thinking, wow, God wants me to go to Canaan. My dad wants to go to Canaan on his own, wants me to go, and he's going to lead me there. There's God's strategy. There's God's plan. All I got to do is go with them. And so they go. But they head out, but they stop, the scripture says, at Haran, and they settled there. Wait, this isn't Canaan. This is Haran. Terah lived for 205 years and died while he was still in Haran. He was a little more than halfway to Canaan, and he settled and stopped. I don't need to go any further. Why? If you know anything about Terah, he was a craftsman, a builder, right? Probably don't know. Maybe you do. He makes stuff. I am no carpenter, right? Right? That is not my giftings. It was his giftings. Lots of idolatry in Ur, where they used to live. And you wonder why they left. Like, why'd they go? Well, his son died there, so he's got bad memories. But the scripture doesn't really say why. But I'm just thinking, okay, his son did die. The scripture says he died, so maybe that's the reason. You have a child that dies in your hometown, maybe you just want to get out. Canaan had some bustling economy, and so for what he's doing, he's a craftsman, he's building stuff. So they're going up the Euphrates River, they come to this city called Haran, and they start looking around, and hey, there's not so bad here. They've got a bustling economy, just like back in Ur. This might be okay. Let's hang out here for a little bit. Let's hang out. They build things here just like back in Ur. I could get comfortable here. This could be okay. I could make some money here. Because they're asking for skilled craftsmen, and that's what I do. This is Terah speaking. This is Abram's dad. So they stopped. It's comfortable. They had better tents. They had more Holiday Inns. They had 3 Chick-fil-A's instead of 2, right? They liked it there. So he's talking about that and thinking about that. You just know it's not listed in the scripture, the specifics, but as you dive into the scripture, you start to see it. And that's what we're doing here today. Why didn't Terah make it to Canaan? He was more than halfway. And the scripture says he did die, because he never left and he died there. I think it's deeper. I think it's much deeper as to why he didn't leave. Because he was there a lot of years. That means in the scripture, and just tells us practical common sense, he stayed for some reason. Right? He didn't leave, even though he was heading out to Canaan. Grabs his son, Abram, and pulls him along. And I'm sure Abram's saying, wow, this has got to be the strategy at the time. What was the thought process when his father died in Haran? Now what do I do? Because he's there with him. We're going to answer some of those questions, I believe. In Genesis 11:31, it says it just like this. But they stopped at Haran, and they settled there. It's really important, folks, for not only this historic story in God's word, but for you and I. They stopped and settled. See, you could stop and not settle, or you could just settle. Why does the scripture say they stopped and they settled? Stop means they stopped temporarily. We make stops all the time. On vacation, we make stops all the time, right? You got to stop for food, for gas, what have you, whatever, charge your electrical vehicle, whatever you're driving, right? You make a stop. It's just temporary, though. But the scripture says they stopped. That means to me, they were checking things out. Maybe it wasn't going to be a permanent thing. They were just going to see what the lay of the land is, just check it out. But then the scripture says, then they settled. They pitched a tent. They're staying. And you know they did because Terah died there. See, on our journey, when we get past the halfway mark, or we're going, then we get into the more than halfway, a couple things happen. Are we stopping and settling, or we're going forward? That's what happened here, I'm telling you. They stopped, and they saw what they wanted to see, and they settled. And one never left, and another one left. Right? Haran was the land of comfort, but Canaan was the land of promise. Terah appeared looking for comfort while Abram was following a promise. Both intended to leave Ur. Both traveled the same direction. I showed you that on the map. But only one made it to Canaan. Comfort possibly changed Terah's final destination. More than halfway, the comfort factor shows up, I believe. And after Terah's death, Abram had to make a decision. Just like they did on building the wall around Jerusalem, he had to decide. Now, you dive into the scripture, it looked like they were there for about 5 years. Abram stuck around, right? He takes off. And Genesis 12:4 says, so Abram departed as the Lord had instructed him. And then Lot went with him. What were they doing? They were continuing to follow the call, because Stephen explained it 4,000 plus years later, God's going to remove him. Church, just because you're halfway or more than halfway, the call doesn't stop. If the call stops and you hunker down and settle somewhere, that is you settling. That's not God stopping the call on where he wants to take you. Decision time. God removed them, was persistent in the call, reminded him of the call. Don't forget, I want you in Canaan. I don't want you staying here. What did Abram do? He could have stayed. It was comfortable. They put down roots. It was years, right? He responded to the call. See, we can all be tempted to quit before reaching the intended goal. Today, I encourage you, don't settle for where you're at, church. Keep on going until you reach the final destination, the end. What's the end? Whatever God says the end is. For a minister, we're called for a lifetime. In the ministry, it never ends. Right, Mike, Christine, Nicole, Pastor Amber? We're called. You are called as well. You get to the halfway point, some opposition shows up, it gets tough. You go more than halfway and there's other things that are going on, decision time. It's more comfortable to stay here in Haran, but I got to keep going. God removes him and reminds him, you're not done. I have bigger plans for you. Let's dive deeper back to Genesis 11:31. Back to Terah took Abram and his son Lot, the son of Haran, his grandson, and Sarai, daughter-in-law, his son Abram's wife, and they went together back to leaving Ur of the Chaldees to go into the land of Canaan. But when they came to Haran, they settled there, right? Settled. Past the halfway mark. Three things they settled. They settled physically, they settled emotionally, and they settled spiritually. Now, Ur was a place of idolatry. And maybe, Terah built some idols for people because it was very profitable. The scripture teaches us they worshiped the moon god. And so when they left Ur and they got to Haran, they worshiped the moon god there as well. So it's kind of like home. And they settled there. Terah died more than halfway into his journey. But Abram decided to keep going, to finish the journey. Watch what happens, church. Genesis 12:1. The Lord had said to Abram, leave your native country, your relatives, and your family, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous, and you will be a blessing to others. There's two things in that scripture. That's why we come back to it. There are two things that happened that kept Abram going. It's the same two things that should keep me going and you going, church. He said two core things in there. He said, had said. God's not changing his mind, church. God's not changing his mind in your life. He's going to see you through halfway and more than halfway. He's not changing his mind. The strategy's not going to change. He's going to see you through. You may change the strategy. You may change the situation on your trip. God's not going to change. God's not going to change. And Abram hunkered down and remembered, had said. God had said to me, I'm going. He was convinced of that. He believed it with everything in him. Had said. Now some people believe that this was written while they were in Haran. But most scholars say no, it was written when they were before they left. Regardless, it still says had said. The second thing was, I will show you. He was convinced that God would show him. I am convinced that God will show me. I am convinced for you that God will show you. Regardless of whether we see it yet or not, you have to be convinced that what God told you before, what he had said, doesn't change, and you've got to be convinced that he will show you step by step. You've got to be convinced. Abram was convinced, convicted, believed. How do you know, Pastor? Because he left the city and kept going. And he arrived. So I know he had to have been, right? Terah settled permanently. But Abram only stopped temporarily. Just because something in your life, church, causes you to stop doesn't mean God wants you to settle there. You're just stopped. And stopping and settling are two different things. God stops you sometimes. I ain't ready for the next step on my path. See, that's why I started with the path series. I'm not ready. I got to stop. I got some things to figure out. But if I decide to settle there, I'm never going to make it there. But God doesn't want you to settle. God's got something better. Regardless of whether you could see it or not, he will show it to you if you continue on the journey, right? So was faith and fear involved in all this? Of course. There was some faith and there is a lot of fear and a lot of faith and a lot of fear, right? Just like us. Whenever there's a hesitation to move toward God's calling, fear most likely will birth your pause. It'll birth your pause. I'm afraid to go forward. So I will not only stop here, I'll settle here. I had the faith to get this far. You just don't have enough faith to get you to the end. Terah died there. Abram's going to the end. What's it look like on the trip to get there? I don't know. Now there's some fear, right? Doubt, indecisiveness, procrastination, reluctance, or just plain unwillingness will get you to settle. It'll get you to settle. Remember the story when Peter was walking on the water? He got out of the boat. Jesus reached out his hand to a sinking Peter because he's got fearful, right? He started to get afraid. And Jesus reaches out his hand. And the scripture says it like this in Matthew 14:31. Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took a hold of him, saying to him, "O you of little faith, why are you doubting? Why are you doubting I had said? Why are you doubting I will show you?" Why? Even though in the midst of your doubt, halfway sinking into the water, his hand reaches out and grabs him and lifts him. Halfway. He rescued him. Right? Faith and fear never coexist, church. Faith sinks in the weight of doubt. Faith will sink in the weight of doubt more than halfway as you're getting closer to the where God wants you to go. More doubt, more situations show up, more opposition may show up. And if you start to doubt and that fear sinks into your life, your faith is going to be rattled. And if you believe that God had said to you, even though you can't see it yet, that's what Abram held on to. And I pray today that's what you and I hold on to, right? More than halfway is when we really focus on the finish. Often when we settle, vision dies, purpose dies, hope dies, promise dies, faith dies. We may live, but inside something is missing and lost forever. Why did Terah settle? I think it was comfort. See, when we think there's no way through or around or over, we settle. See, when our perception shows up and it is more important to us than God's plans and strategies, we settle. And we're looking at our perceptions of what the situation looks like. Pastor, I'll never get out of the hospital. I really don't like when people say that. I'll never get better. I'll never get healed. Because what we're saying is I'm settling for what I have and not what God can do. We remove the God factor and we make a decision that says God's not going to do it. And church, I'm here to tell you that God is going to do it. When you lose hope, oh, hope is lost. You take the God factor out of your life and you will settle right where you're at. And you will live there and you will die there. That will be your home. That's where you pitch your tent. And that's where you decide, I'm not going to leave. You're telling God can't do it. You're saying God never said it. You're saying just because God hasn't showed you yet how you're going to get up out of the situation, you're saying God won't do it. I'm going to settle and stay right here. I'm going to tell you right now as your pastor, settle for nothing. Because you serve a God that's bigger than your situation. You serve a God that's unstoppable. Let's remember Genesis 12:1. The Lord had said to Abram. The Lord had said to Pastor Brad. The Lord had said to Pastor Nicole. The Lord had said to Pastor Mike and Christine. The Lord had said to Pastor Amber. The Lord had said to you. Today, the Lord had said, it wasn't your friend telling you, it was God telling you. And God's not going to change his mind. Abram lived there, I'm telling you, he lived there. It stirred his faith, That's why we preached on stirring. It stirred him. God said it, I believe it, I'm convinced. I'm doing it, I'm getting the Canaan. There's something there for me that's not here. This is really good, but there's something better, it's gotta be. I'm going. So he restarts the journey. He stopped, he settled, I'm restarting. See, church, I'm gonna tell you something. Just because you stop and just because you settle doesn't mean you can't start again. Just because you stopped, just because you're settling, doesn't mean you can't start again. You can start again. God didn't change his mind. I don't care how many days, weeks, months, years it's passed. God still's there waiting for you, stirring you. Where are you? I'm still here. So Abram gets up and he heads to Canaan and says, I'm out of here. My dad died here. I'm still leaving. I could come back and maybe see the grave site someday, but I'm going. Something's better there because God had said it to be so. So he takes off. He heads down to Canaan, the land of promise, Genesis 12:8. Here's what he does. From there, he moved to the hill country in the east of Bethel. It's a city. He pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai, it's another city, on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. Church, this wasn't a private prayer. He didn't go to the small part of the tent and hunker down with a meekness. It says he called upon heaven. Father, this is your servant Abram. I'm here. You removed me. I showed up. I followed. I responded. Now I'm here. Have your way with me. I am your servant. You are my God. And I'm going to listen. And I'm going to respond. The Bible teaches us that he made a public declaration. Built an altar. It's probably this raging fire. I'm Abram, I'm here. Because God had said for me to be here. And he would show me. And now I know. What's the result of that, Pastor? What happens? Genesis 15:1-7. Then the Lord took Abram outside and said to him, look up in the sky and count those stars if you can do it. That's how many descendants you're going to have. He wouldn't have done that if he would have stayed in the comfort of Haran. Because that wasn't the promise. That was just a stop. That's how many descendants you're going to have. Those descendants, church, are pointing towards the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what that means. And Abram believed the Lord. And the Lord counted him as righteous because of his faith. The connection's made. You removed me from Haran, and I came down here, and I built an altar, and I'm here for you. What do you want me to do next? Then the Lord told him, I am the Lord who brought you out of there. Removed you from there. Just like I removed you, that means I was calling you in Ur, I called you out of Haran, I brought you here, I am your God. And now, I'm going to give you this land as your possession. Wow. That's a big deal. Because 4,000 years later, Stephen was proclaiming that very thing of his journey and Abraham's journey all the way to the promised land. And they're standing on the promised land because one man left Haran and didn't settle there. Church, that's you and I today. What does God have for you? And see, our perspective, what we're looking at, our situation in our life today, it's not the end result. It's us settling and stopping. I'm telling you, all you have to do is, if God said it, you got to believe it and be convinced of it. I don't care what it looks like today. God had said, keep going. Watch a transformation take place in your life. That's us today. Abram was called. God removed him. That's persistent with the call. He responded. He didn't have to respond, but he did. Many people today are called but don't respond. What do you want God to do? He didn't settle, and now God chose him for an inheritance. Those descendants in the stars, your inheritance is land and people, and preachers will talk about you in 2024 in Canton, Ohio. Church, I got a question before we close today. Who are you? Are you Abram or Terah? Are you stopped? Have you settled? Are you convinced? Are you going forward? Are you looking at your situation and your perception of what it is and saying, I don't see God's strategy in my life? Or do you leave Cross Point Church today or shut off your device and you say, I'm Abram. I ain't settling. God called me. God told me. He had said. He hasn't showed it to me yet, but I know God is real, and I know he's ruling my life, and I know he's going to get me there, and it doesn't look the same as I thought it would look. It doesn't matter. God had said. Are you an Abram today or a Terah? I want to be Abram. I want Cross Point Church people to be Abram. We're not going to settle. We're not going to stop. Come Wednesday night, people will come into our doors. We're not going to settle. We're not going to stop. We're not going to just hunker down and say, oh, well, we're going to minister and change people's lives. And in the midst of all that, you will be changed. But here's the question as we close today. Is God waiting on your response? Calls you, equips you, gets ready, does all this stuff for you. Is he waiting on you to respond? Or are you just going to stay settled right where you're at? And I challenge you not to do that. So church, do me a favor. As we close, bow your hearts with me today. If I'm talking directly to you today or you're watching online and you feel like you've settled, you feel like you stopped, you feel like you kind of hunker down in a level of comfort or sickness or disease or illness or situation or financial poverty or whatever it is, and you have just decided, this is my lot in life and I can't get out of this. If that is you, you're going to die in Haran, settled and stopped. If that's how you're feeling today, I want to pray for you before you leave, and I'm not going to call you by name and I'm not calling you down the altar, but I'm going to pray corporately for you. If that is you today, just raise your hand for me. Anybody else? Thank you, thank you, thank you. I see the hands on the sides and in the back. If that's you today, just raise your hand. We are going to pray. Thank you for the hand in the middle. Is there anybody else? Several hands. Thank you for the hand down front and more in the middle. If that is you, just raise your hand. We're going to pray. We're going to pray today that you no longer settle, that you no longer are stopped, that you proclaim that you are Abram today. That's the hand I wanted to see. Thank you so much. There's another one down front. Thank you. Is there anybody else? Father God, in Jesus' name, Father God, I pray for each and every one of the hands that were raised. Lord, they're feeling like they're settling. They're feeling like they're stopped. Lord God, in the mighty name of Jesus, remove them as you did Abram. I pray, Lord God, that you remove them, that you remind them, and you're persistent that they're not there because you want them there. They're there because they're settling, that they have stopped. Lord God, I pray right now that you energize them, that you remind them, that you remove them from the situation and set them more than halfway so they can get to the final destination that you have for them, whatever it may be. I pray for that today, Lord God. I pray when they leave the worship center or shut off their device, that there is a change in their thinking, that there's a different situation that occurs, that somebody else shows up in their life and they said, that's the person that God promised me. They do something. They get involved in the class on Wednesday night. They're blessed. They seek the kingdom of the living God like they've never done before because God had said. I pray for that today, Lord God, in the mighty, mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Give him praise today, church. Give him praise. Stand with me today as the Crosspoint Church family. We proclaim we're not stopping, we're not settling, we're going the final distance, more than halfway. Until we get to the end, somebody's got to get excited. Praise with me today as we leave Crosspoint. Let's leave in an attitude of praise. God bless you.